All right, welcome to the deep dive. Today, we're going way back to 1941, and we're diving into a case that is absolutely foundational for, I think, anyone who's interested in tax law, Higgins v. Commissioner.
Yeah, definitely a classic.
So this might seem like ancient history, right?
Yeah.
But especially for you law students out there, trust me, Higgins is not just some dusty old case. It's actually incredibly relevant today.
Oh, absolutely. And it really gets to the heart of something your future clients are definitely going to be asking about, which is, you know, what expenses can I deduct? What's considered a business expense versus a personal expense? And Higgins really lays the groundwork for understanding that line, especially when we're talking about investments.
Exactly. So what we're going to try to figure out today in this deep dive is, when exactly does managing your own investments become a trade or business for tax purposes? Because if it does, then boom, you get to deduct all those sweet, sweet expenses.
Right, those management fees, office costs, all that fun stuff.
Exactly. So to help us unpack all of this, we've got a whole bunch of materials we'll be looking at today, some podcast guidance, a case brief, a perplexity analysis, and even the standard brief of Higgins v. Commissioner.
We're going to pull out the most important nuggets from all of these and synthesize them into something that is actually useful for you.
Awesome. So with all that said, let's dive right in. Can you give us a little background on Eugene Higgins and what exactly led him to end up in front of the Supreme Court?
Absolutely. So we're talking about Eugene Higgins, who was, you know, managing a pretty massive portfolio.
Yeah.
Real estate, stocks, bonds, the whole nine yards. And he had been doing this for a long time, like over 30 years.
Oh, that's a long time.
Right. Not just dabbling. This was serious business.
Yeah.
He had offices in New York and Paris and even a whole staff dedicated to managing his investments.
So it wasn't just him sitting at his kitchen table with a calculator. This was a legit operation.
Exactly.
Okay. So then what kinds of expenses was he trying to deduct on his tax return?
Well, he was trying to deduct things like his employees' salaries and all of his office expenses, right? The stuff you need to run an office. And he was claiming these as ordinary and necessary business expenses under, I think it was Section 23A of the 1932 Revenue Act.
Oh, okay. So this all boils down to whether or not what he was doing actually qualified as carrying on a trade or business in the eyes of the law.
Exactly. That's the core issue here.
So what did the IRS have to say about all this?
Well, the IRS did something interesting. They actually allowed the deductions for the expenses related to his real estate activities.
Oh, really? So they were okay with him deducting expenses for managing rental properties, for example?
Yeah, they seem to recognize that managing real estate is a bit more hands-on, right? You've got tenants, you've got to deal with maintenance, leases, all that stuff. It's more like running a traditional business.
It's active, yeah.
Right. But when it came to his stocks and bonds, they weren't so keen on letting him deduct those expenses.
So they drew a line in the sand between real estate and securities. Interesting.
Hmm.
What did Higgins do then? I'm guessing he didn't just accept that decision.
No, he didn't. He took his case to the Board of Tax Appeals and, well, they sided with the IRS. They agreed that managing his securities wasn't a trade or business.
So strike one. Did he give up there?
Nope. He appealed again, this time to the Second Circuit Court of Appeals.
Yeah.
Same story. They also upheld the board's decision.
Okay, so two strikes. I guess this is where the Supreme Court comes in, right?
You got it. Higgins wasn't giving up. He appealed all the way to the top.
So can you lay out for us what was the central question the Supreme Court had to answer in this case?
All right. So the million-dollar question, the one the Supreme Court had to grapple with, was, does managing your own investments, stocks, bonds, the whole shebang, does that count as carrying on a trade or business according to federal tax law? And if it does, then you can deduct those related expenses.
Okay. Pretty straightforward, but with potentially huge implications. So what did the Supreme Court decide?
Well, they sided with the IRS and the lower courts. They said, nope, managing your personal stocks and bonds, even if you're doing it like Eugene Higgins was, that's not a trade or business under the Revenue Act of 1932.
Okay, case closed. But it's important to understand why they reached that decision. What was their reasoning?
Right, right. So they had a few key points. First, they looked at what exactly we mean by trade or business. And they said, essentially, that managing investments, even if it's a full-time gig, is really about growing your own wealth.
Protecting and growing your own assets.
Yeah. Exactly. It's different from, let's say, running a bakery or, I don't know, a law firm, where you're providing goods or services to others to make a profit. They saw what Higgins was doing as more like taking care of his own stuff, not operating a business in the traditional sense.
So the nature of the activity is really important. What you're actually doing, not just how much time and effort you're putting into it.
Exactly. That's a really important takeaway here.
Okay, what was their second point?
Okay, so their second point was about, you know, what the IRS and Treasury had been doing before. And basically, they said there was no clear history of the IRS or Treasury saying that managing your own investments was a business. Like, there might have been a few cases here and there where they allowed it, but it wasn't a consistent thing.
So there wasn't any real precedent for what Higgins was arguing.
Right. No established pattern.
Okay. Makes sense.
So
what was the third reason?
All right. So the third reason was about the whole real estate versus securities thing that we talked about earlier. The Supreme Court basically doubled down on that distinction, saying, yeah, real estate usually means you're doing a lot more active stuff, dealing with tenants, property upkeep, and so on. But managing securities,
yeah,
it's mostly paperwork and keeping track of things, not the same level of hands-on involvement.
Got it. So they were sticking with that distinction. And what was their final point?
Okay, last but not least, they said that even though Eugene Higgins had been managing this huge portfolio for decades with offices and staff and everything, that wasn't enough on its own to turn his investing into a business.
Even with all that effort.
Yep. They said that the amount of effort isn't the deciding factor. It's about the fundamental nature of what you're doing. And in Higgins' case, he wasn't offering goods or services to anyone else. It was all about managing his own money.
So even though it sounds like he was putting in a ton of work, it wasn't the right kind of work to qualify as a business for tax purposes.
Exactly. And they actually made this really clear in the decision. I think Justice Reed said something like, no matter how large the estate or how continuous or extended the work required may be, such facts are not sufficient as a matter of law to permit the courts to reverse the decision of the board.
Okay. That's a pretty powerful statement. Can you unpack that a little more for our listeners? Maybe break down what that means in plain English?
Sure. So what Justice Reed was getting at is that for something to be considered a trade or business, when we're talking about deductions, it usually has to involve providing some kind of product or service to other people with the goal of making a profit. Just managing your own money, no matter how much work you put in, doesn't usually meet that bar. The size of your portfolio and the fact that you're working on it constantly, those are important, but they don't automatically make it a business in the eyes of the law.
Got it. So it's not about how much effort you're putting in, but about what that effort is actually focused on. Can you give us an example to illustrate this a little better?
Sure. Let's say you have someone who manages a hedge fund. They might do a lot of the same things as Eugene Higgins, researching investments, making trades and all that, but there's a big difference. They're doing it for other people, not just themselves. And they're getting paid for it, usually through management fees or a cut of the profits. That's a clear sign that they're running a business.
Because they're providing a service.
Right. Exactly. But according to Higgins, if you're just managing your own portfolio, even if you're super sophisticated about it, it's not considered a business for deducting expenses.
So even if you have a home office dedicated to your investing with Bloomberg terminals and subscriptions to all the financial journals, you can't write those off as business expenses.
Right, unless you're also managing other people's money and getting paid for it.
That makes sense. So the Supreme Court in Higgins didn't really give us a strict test to apply in all cases, did they? But are there any factors that courts tend to consider when they're looking at similar situations?
You're right. They didn't give a hard and fast rule. But we can see some patterns in how courts have approached these cases since Higgins. One thing they look at is what you're actually doing. Are you mostly just keeping records and collecting income, or are you more actively involved like you would be in a regular business? Another factor is your intention. Are you trying to protect your wealth, or are you trying to make money by doing business with others? And like we said, getting paid to manage other people's money is a pretty big clue that you're running a business.
So there's no magic formula, but those are some of the key things courts will look at. Okay, so the big takeaway from Higgins is that managing your own investments, no matter how much time you spend on it, usually doesn't qualify as a business that you can deduct expenses for. Unless, of course, you're doing it for other people and getting paid.
That's the gist of it. Think about someone like Warren Buffett. He manages his own investments, right? But the expenses he has for managing his personal portfolio, those wouldn't be deductible as business expenses under Higgins.
Wow, even Warren Buffett can't write off his stock research. Okay, that really drives home the point. So why do you think Higgins v. Commissioner is still such a big deal in tax law today? Why are we still talking about it almost 100 years later?
I think it's because Higgins laid down a really important principle.
Yeah.
There's a fundamental difference between managing your own personal stuff, like your investments, and actually running a business. And this distinction is super important for making sure our tax system is fair and that people aren't trying to deduct personal expenses as business expenses. Tax professionals and the IRS still rely on Higgins to figure out where that line is.
And that line is important in all sorts of real-world situations, right? Like when you're trying to figure out if you can deduct expenses for a rental property versus, say, expenses for researching stocks.
Yeah, great example. So if you own a rental property, you can deduct things like repairs and management fees because you're making money by renting to other people. That's a business. But if you're just doing research on stocks for your own portfolio, you can't deduct those expenses because that's personal, not business related. Higgins is the legal foundation for that difference.
It's amazing how a case from way back then is still shaping how we think about taxes today.
Yeah.
So with all that in mind, here's something for everyone to think about as we wrap up. We've seen a lot of changes in the investing world since the 1940s. People have access to all sorts of sophisticated tools and information now, and more people are actively trading on their own. So the question is, how did the principles from Higgins apply in this new landscape? It's a tough one, but it's something worth considering as you continue learning about the law. Thanks for joining us for this deep dive.